So the Pshuta Shel Mikra is for the moment assume that that Uba Yerachima. So it doesn't, for our purpose, it doesn't matter whether you damage the fetus, you damaged her arm, you damaged her face, it doesn't matter. It's Chova B'Chavera. Okay?
Right, but you're warning him about murder, and what he did was just...
Chavala.
Yeah, he just did Chavala.
He violated Yosef. So that, but the Gemara's point is, if he was Matir Atzma Lamisa, he certainly Matir Atzma Lamalkos.
But it's a different thing. Like, it's an entirely different action. Like, he might not even realize he's chayav anything for it. How could he have known that Chavala would require anything?
Excellent. That's an excellent observation. Shishlein, that's what you should have asked me earlier. In other words, if you want to punish him for something he didn't know was an aver. So there are a couple of ways of going about this, which I hadn't really thought about.
Well, no.
But one is...
I shouldn't have asked you that.
Yes, you should have.
I shouldn't have.
Okay, but that's a good question.
Yeah, it is a good question, but it wasn't the line of questioning I was bringing up.
I know, but your line of questioning wasn't such a good line of questioning. It was a klutz kasha. This is a good kasha.
Okay? That's fair.
So he asked a good question, too. Schlein also asked a good question. But his question was... the Gemara in Shabbos says that if you're as a machlokas amarayim, when someone uses a filter as mishamer, what do you have to be master them for? What av malacha, borer or marakid? It's machlokas amarayim. So the Tosfos asked the Kasha, who says that you need to be warn them for which av malacha is the first place? Just say bechal Shabbos. The Tosfos says you're right. You might not have to. You might not have to warn on the av mishum tolda, but if you tell him the wrong tolda, he's going to think you're a joker. And not serious. Right? In other words, if I tell you...
How is he such a bucky? He doesn't know about halacha that you're chayav misa, but he knows that...
he doesn't care, probably. But the point is that if I tell you, cut that with the scissors, your toe for a toe, because we're going to give you a death penalty from a vashel on Shabbos. So you're going to look at me like, what kind of crackpot are you? So that's what Tosfos explains. But that's a situation where the person, where you say something that's ridiculous. Here, when I give you hasra for misa and warn you not to try to kill your friend, that is correct hasra. And you accept that. But he's asking, that's why it's not comparable, but what he's asking is, maybe the guy, in the end, he didn't kill someone. He only did malchus. He only... Okay, but while Klape Shmaya trying to do an aver might be a bad person, he didn't try to hit the pregnant woman, and he...
Is the question that maybe he doesn't know that it's usher? He knew his action was usher.
But he didn't know he didn't know that Chovel was usher.
What does it matter? He still... His action was... The point of usher...
No, what he... Listen. So that's what you're going to have to... What you're going to have to say, in effect, is it doesn't really matter. It's not crucial. It's all that the... Hasra has two purposes. It's a machlokas atanaim, but let's accept that we require both, which we in principle should, leaving aside the Rambam's psak. But we assume, number one, chovel is there so that you know what you're doing is asr. Number two, hasra is there so that you know what you're doing is asr. Number two, hasra is there so that you accept the consequences of your actions. So now it turns out that what you did was not what you set out to do, but you knew that what you were doing was asr. Trying to kill someone is usher. Now that you failed, but you injured someone, that's very nice. And number two, you were willing to accept the consequences, you know, of Misa. And now since your actions entail Malkos, so what? The problem with that, Zach, is that at the end of the day, did he commit Chavala on the woman, B'mezid or B'shoge? This is not the question you asked me, Moshe. Right. But I'm asking this question for me. He didn't commit Chavala. The Avera that he did B'shoge.
And the Gemara's point is that it doesn't matter.
He didn't try wounding someone. Now, I'll tell you, I know what the answer to the question
is. Shogeg is a lack of knowledge.
It's better. It's misasek.
That's what
I'm
saying.
It's even better. Misasek is less of an aver. So the answer to that, this is where I was afraid I was going to have to go, but it might be true. There might be another piece in play here, which is that Chovel might be, I'll call it a chatzi shir of Ritzicha. Well, I see I'm getting pushback here, shock. So let me tell you why I say that. Firstly, I want to point out to you that qualitative differences can also be called chatzi shir. Here, I point you to a very interesting Ramban that is never quoted in the discussion of well, the most popular discussion of high school students in halacha, which other, colloquially known as the prohibition of negia, halachically known as the prohibition of lo sikrivu. So the Rambam says that the isser of lo sikrivu, of sexual contact, but not of the nature, not actual bia, the Rambam says it's an isser daraisa, it's a lo sase, you get malchus, based upon a brisa in the sifra, in the Torah's Kohanim. Many Rishonim say, in the Ramban's Maskana seems to aim more like it's only Nisa the Rabbanon and the Sifra's an Asmachta. But then, the Ramban, when you actually read the Ramban initially, has a much more fascinating suggestion. He suggests that it might be an Issa Daraisa, but there's no Malkus involved because it's a Chatzi Shir. In other words, the Sikravu is a Chatzi Shir Abia. Okay, very interesting. Nobody ever quotes that part of the Ramban, but it's remarkably fascinating. Now here, I have better reason for saying, I have better reason for saying that. How do you know that you're not allowed? How do I know that Chavala, whose prohibition is what? Lo Yosu. How do I know that Chavala might be, why might I think it's Ke'en Ritzicha? Because the Gemara in Perek HaChovel, speaking about, says, Ein Adam Rashoi Lachbo Biatzmo. You're not allowed to wound yourself. So the Gemara wants to know, now this doesn't fundamentally undermine what I'm saying, but the Gemara rejects it, but I think that this part of this may still be intact. The Gemara says, Ilema haitana hu detanya v'aches dimchem l'nafsho seichem et rosh. So Rabbi Lazar Omer miyad nafsho seichem et rosh is dimchem. That's the prohibition on suicide. So the Gemara says, v'dilma katalashani. Like I say, v'dilma katalashani. It's not an absolute proof as a makor. You're not allowed to be chovel b'atzma. But you see that the Gemara at least has a havamina that chovel would be learned from the pasuk that that prohibits killing oneself. Furthermore, some of you know that chovel b'shabbos is chayev. Why is the, what is the malacha of chovel on Shabbos? So there's a three-way machlokas arishonim. So some rishonim say that chovel is because of tzofeah. The some Rishonim say that Chovel is because of mefarek, like when you squeeze a grape out, when you touch the liquid from its original place. But some say, I think the Balei Tosfos have, that it's a told of Shochet, because Mali Kotla Kula, Mali Kotla Palga. That's the expression. The Gemara has that expression somewhere, I forget where. So, and you could even, if you want to go out on a limb a little bit, the fact that Maki Ava V'imo is Chayiv Misa, only when you make a Chavalah, also suggests, perhaps, the term makei can mean either to strike. This is a language from the biblical, arrived from the biblical language. Makei can mean either to strike or to smite. Both meanings exist. So therefore, it could be that in this particular case, specifically, within killing someone, bichlal that is wounding them. It's a super wounding. And that might be the answer to your question. In other words, if I can be chayiv misa when trying to kill A and I kill B, then I can be chayiv also when I try to kill A and I wound B. Just as I could be chayiv for wounding B, A when I try killing him.
Okay. So,
all right. Fine. That's good, no? Fine.
Rabbi, is there any concept of attempted murder in...
There is no such thing. I don't want to say there's virtually no such thing as attempted X in halacha if you fail, meaning post after the fact. There's no onesh. It's an avera. How do I know that it's an avera? There's a Rashi in Chumash quotes from a Gemara. It's probably from the Dorim. It says, Isha hafeiram v'Hashem yislach la. Her husband annulled her vows and God will forgive her. The pshuto shel mikra might be that she's absolved from the vow, but it's wrong to take vows. But Chazal say, what are we talking about here? If the husband was mefer, why does she require slicha? So the Gemara says, you're talking about a case where a woman took a vow, her husband was mefer the vow, she didn't know he was mefer the vow, but she violated it anyway. Not knowing that, she did it. Just because she was choosing to violate. So it turned out she tried violating her oath. As it turns out, it was what my children call an epic fail. She tried violating the oath, but she's so incompetent, she couldn't even violate the nether, because her husband had been made for it. So the Chazal say, she requires kapara, v'ashem yislach la, because she tried to do an aver. But that's bidei shamayim. I don't know if there are any cases bidei adam. Once the ma'amad, once the whole situation is over, attempting to have done something, I don't know that there's I'm not aware of a case of a specifically prescribed judicial punishment. Any question?
No.
Right, and so on. That's different, but that's in the middle of the action. But once it's over and you failed, so if you tried killing someone and you rode fem, and now you're no longer able to do that, because you they ran away and you didn't catch them and you give up. So then you're not a rode fem anymore. And there's no onish, right? It's obviously an avera. It's a serious avera, but it doesn't have a specific judicial punishment. Okay, so now it gets fun. So we have a nice raya. We have from the case of a person who injures a pregnant woman trying to kill his friend, who got hasra for misa, which inside it is hasra for malkos. So now we know that you're mishalim v'eino loka. I want to add, of course, one other thing to my little piece of Torah on the fly before about malkos and misa, which is the machlokas, which part of this is maybe totally in the machlokas, which we saw Cain and the Yerushalmi, of whether or not Malkus requires a base of 23 or 3. I think it's a machlokas atanoim, and it has to do with Rasha. And if you remember, there's a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, whether or not the Xer Shava Rasha tells you that Chayve Malkio Shogagin are also part of the Chayve Misa Shogagin. And that may also depend on how much do you want to see Misa, Malkos, as a Cain of Misa. Okay. Fine. So now, Maskif la Ravashi. Ravashi is a challenge.
Maskif la Ravashi, Mim Aydin, Mucho de Dabra Chamor, Habe Mucho de Dabra Akal, Zemra Lo Habe, Imtetel
Avon. Okay. So number one, who says that you are correct? That Musra la Dabra Chamor is Musra la Dabra Kal. Now, I think everybody understood as a given that even if we say Musra la Dabra Chamor is not Musra la Dabra Kal, nonetheless, even if we say that Musra l'davar chamor is Musra l'davar kal, Musra l'davar kal is not Musra l'davar chamor. I think that goes without saying. And there's no chiddush in that. Just because I'm willing to accept Malkus doesn't mean I would have done this if I knew there were Misa. That's a given. So number one, who says that Musra l'davar chamor is considered Musra l'davar kal? Number two, in Timsa Lomar Have, even if it's true, go ahead, Mimai. Okay, how do you know that Misa is more chamer than Malkos? So this seems to be somewhat of a ridiculous question. So the Rishonim explain, that's because you don't understand what the question is. What's the question? It's not whether Tosus, if you look on the top Tosus, he says, "Have a matzah l'shinoi mistabra Misa chamur shekei nitna lan shir nidachas k'damrin in perik arba Misas." Right, shir nidachas are pretty bad. Right, that's a rotten town where most of the town has worshipped Avodah Zarah. So bad that we destroy all the property, even of those who didn't commit Avodah Zarah. So the tzaddikim aren't executed, but their money is not safe. And furthermore, there's even a shita in the Tosefta, Tano believes that you kill the children of the people being killed in Yirni Dachas, which obviously raises profound questions, but there is such a shita. So Yirni Dachas is bad. Very bad. It's surprising that they only get Misa through Hereg, but it might be because that's the only efficient way to give Misa. But whatever, you have to judge, whatever. It's okay, whatever it is. The bottom line is, everybody understands Misa is more chamor punished than the Malkus. Right? The reason why certain Arayas get Misa, and now some of them only get Kares, and Malkus, is because some of them are obviously treated as bigger Averas. That's what we generally assume. Even though we say Heve Zar b'mitzvah kalak of a chamura, it doesn't mean that we don't recognize that there are kalos and chamuros. That when we have to save someone's life to be matzil them to be kuach nefesh, so we say machil nosa kalak al tchila. We violate the lesser yisurim first. So how do we know? It's just we look at the punishments. Punishments are one gauge, not the only one, but the one gauge of determining what is more chamur, what is less chamur. So if you can do a less chamur aveira to save a person's life, it's mutter, it's a mitzvah, but you do the less chamur before doing the more chamur. So it's clear, of course, that Misa is chamor. So the Gemara is not talking about from the perspective of din or an objective chumra and kula. It's talking about psychology, as the Gemara is about to say. In other words, there are people who would rather die than suffer, which is understandable, right? It's a measurement of how bad the quality of life is, how long a person's going to live. And there are people who logically make the choice that they'd rather die than continue to suffer. Forgetting about whether halachically, whether it's mutter or not mutter, but that human psychology is certainly as such. Yeah?
How how do you know that that's what matters, the psychology as opposed to...
Oh, so the answer is, when you're talking about Hasra, the whole point, when you say Musra L'davar Chama, have a Musra L'davar Kal, or, you know, is based upon a psychological assumption that if a person is willing to expose himself to death, certainly be willing to take Malkus. So the Gemara is saying, who says that people consider Miso Machamer the Malkus? Right, the svara of saying Musra L'davar Chama, Musra L'davar Kal, is if I'm willing to violate God's word, even though I'm going to get killed, I'm certainly willing to violate it if it only entails Malkus. That's a psychological assumption, not a din, not an objective assumption. Daniel?
Even if in rarity of cases where it's, you know, somebody rather get 39 and left, I mean, somebody rather die than get, you know, Malchus, it seems very strange that, like, we're always making, like, these objectifications, and we never sort of look at the subjectivity of the particular case and the psychology of the person and so on. How is an aide even supposed to function by giving a warning, meaning he has to give, like, the exact particular, like...
No, an aide just needs to tell the person what punishment they're going to get for performing this act, that's all. That's why, the Tosfos says on Shabbos, for example, you don't need to be a baki in Lamites Malachos to give Hasra. You have to just say, that you're desecrating the Shabbos, we're going to take you to Beis Din and kill you. If I tell you you're desecrating the Shabbos because you're violating Simon Shin Yod Zayin Shulchan Aruch because you're doing Tohein or you're doing Borer, and you say, you're obviously not Ma'aretz because you don't know what you're talking about. I know Shulchan Aruch Shin Yod Zayin and there's no discussion of Borer there, so obviously you know what you're talking about and this is fine. Right?
No, I understand that one, but hitting someone and then getting Malchus from it, not killing somebody, but isn't hitting someone the process in order to actually kill someone? And so by acknowledging that you might be killed for killing this person, meaning that acknowledging the fact that you might be punished with Misa, in order to actually be punished with Misa, you have to physically hit the person, you have to physically endanger the other person. And the process of doing that might actually lead you not killing them, but just hurting them.
So again, yes, but you might argue the following. Again, it's like when I hit you, I'm going to hit you hard to do a shavat putas worth of damage.
Yes.
That had I realized that I would have ended up being unsuccessful, I would not have done it because I don't want to get Malchus. You want to kill me, it's one thing, but Malchus, that's just brutal. So again, part of the element of Hasra is not just to determine whether the person knows what they're doing is Asr, but to understand that they accept the consequences of their actions. In the very same way that a colleague of mine has observed, I'm not sure this is the correct analysis of the Rambam. It is clear to me, on a totally unrelated topic, you see why I quote this, the Rambam sheet about Kabbalah HaMitzvos by Geirus has been greatly disputed. I think it's clear to me that the Rambam seems to accept the notion that a Kabbalah HaMitzvos that was totally insincere may still be valid post facto. It may not be permissible for the Beis Din to do such a Geirus, but if they did, they violated Isser in doing the Geirus, but nonetheless the Geirus might be valid if the Tefillah was done in front of a Beis Din, and if it's a male, there's Mila. Now, I question whether the Rambam never actually says you have to do a formal Kabbalah HaMitzvos, but a colleague of mine commented that you have to do a Kabbalah HaMitzvos, it's ma'akeh for the Rambam. So my response is, yeah, but if it's not sincere, then why is it okay? And it's a farce. So his observation is the following. When you become a citizen of the United States of America and of the country, you take an oath, you take the oath, whatever it is, and if you choose, the purpose of that, what is the purpose of that oath? Part of it is to be mechayiv you in, accepting, you know, the whatever punishments come your way. Because if you said, I accept this citizen, except for I don't agree not to the law against murder. So we might not accept you as a citizen, but let's say we go ahead and accept you. The fact that you accepted, even if you don't mean it, if you say, you know, I accept all to obey the laws of the country, even if you don't mean it at the time, what you're really doing is not accepting to obey the laws of the country. You're accepting the consequences if you don't obey the laws of the country. What you're saying is that whether I intend to commit murder or robbery or whatever else, I understand now when I become a citizen and take the oath of whatever it is, that I am now liable for my actions and I will be punished in accordance with the laws. Okay? Not a question of... So that's, in a sense, what Hasra is. That the person acknowledges that they're accepting what the punishment is going to be.
I'm saying that the process of actually killing someone might involve not actually ending up killing them. It's probable that you might not kill them, but you're going to severely damage.
Well, okay, again, so if you're talking about Mammon, so you pay. There's not a question. But if you're talking about Malchus, to accept it upon yourself, a punishment that you... Well, clearly you tried to kill him. You didn't try to leave him alive. So that being the case, you might have argued that I never would accept it upon myself to get Malchus. That's just brutal. Misa, I can deal with. Malchus, I can't deal with. That's what the Gemara is suggesting here. And how do they know? How do they know that Malchus might be chamer? The Amar Rav. Fascinating statement, which engenders a lot of discussion amongst the Rishonim. What does it mean? Translate it. First, the word il malay. What does the il malay mean? If only they had. It's a positive. It had an aleph at the end of umale. That would be if only they had not. Two umales, one with a yud, one with an aleph. Tosus on the opening amud of the second parak of Megillah, I believe. Second or third parak of Megillah, the opening, one of the first Tosusim, says that umale, look at the Ibn umale, and that mean that's with a yud means if yes, with an aleph means no, if not, if only not. So umale nagdua, what does nagdua mean? The Gemara in Moed Katan says that in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, when they came to a Talmud Chacham who had misbehaved, Negidu Mimnu Anegida Velo Mimnu Ashamta. They didn't want to excommunicate Talmidei Chachamim, but they would more faster give them Malkos Negida. With the famous Gemara in Arvei Pesachim, Tovya Chata VeZigud Mangid. Tovya sin, Tovya complained. Zigud went and told his Rebbe. That Tuvia had done something wrong. He was an Eid Echad, so his Rebbe gave him Malkus, because he said, because I can't believe you, so you're just telling Lashon Hara. So the student's complaint was that Tuvia Chata, but Zigud himself was Mangid. He got Malkus.
It's one of the all-time great Sansino translations.
Okay, what's the Sansino translation?
Toby did the bad jobbing, and Zigad got the hard slogging.
Okay, excellent. Okay, now I'm going to take the liberty of assuming that not all of you actually know the story of Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. You should, because it's referenced in the Slichos, but I take it that most of you never... Well, I'll do the next sentence, because most of you, how many of you have actually read the book of Daniel?
Oh, because we all know our Aramaic names, that's why we're so confused.
Ah, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, yes.
Now I know what you're talking about.
Okay, fine. So, clearly, less than a majority of the shares read the book of Daniel. But even if you hadn't read the book of Daniel, you probably know that Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. But for someone who hasn't read the book of Daniel, can someone tell me, why was he thrown into the lion's den? What did he do? Did you just say what I think you said, Metzger? It's because he davened. All the davening gemaras in the beginning of 5th parak and brachos that learn things from Chana and from Daniel, that you're supposed to have windows in the base of Knesset and so on. It's learned from the story. The advisors of the king, of Cyrus, Darius, Dariavish, advised them, because there was a plot against Daniel who they were envious of, that he should ban prayer. And Daniel used to pray three times a day.
And
of course he continued to pray. That's why he was thrown in the lion's den. The reason why Hanania, Mishael, and Azariah were thrown into the Kivshana Eish, which is, by the way, I don't mean to be I don't mean to be upsetting to you, but the original story of the Kivshana Eish is in the book of Daniel. In the Medrash by Avram Avinu, it's modeled upon the Kivshana Eish of Hanania, Mishael, and Azariah. It's probably not shocking to any of you, but be aware of that. Be aware of the following. What? The story of the Kivshana Eish isn't found in Chumash. Okay.
That's the only conclusion he wants to make, the fact that it's not Chumash, or therefore...
Well, I have an assumption about Medrash as well. But the Medrash is based upon the story of Hanania, Mishael, and Azariah, because obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't choose Avraham without a very good reason. That I take as a given. And the reason that the Medrash, this Medrash explains that he was chosen, was because he was Ma'apil Atzma L'Kif Shana Eish Al Kiddushem Shemayim. Okay? And his Enoklach followed in his footsteps, if you like. Okay. Anyway, the story of Hanania, Mishael, and Azariah is that they were thrown into the Kif Shana Eish because they refused to bow down to the Tzelem. And that's what the Gemara is talking about here. So, and this was by Nebuchadnezzar. This is by the Babylonian king, not by the Persian king. The book of Daniel is a lot of fun. It's just an Aramaic half of it, so it's kind of hard to read. So, Anyway, so, and what happened, of course?
They
were saved.
The
there was somebody, there was a fourth figure in the fire. There was a fourth figure in the fire. That was probably, who was it, Gabriel?
Yeah.
So,
it was a great movie made out
of that moment. Okay. After I watch the book on Noah's Ark, the movie on Noah's Ark, I'll go watch that one. Okay.
It's a new Schmuck movie at
all. It's very shocked.
Okay. Okay, I didn't. It's not on my bucket list item. Okay, so what does this statement mean? What does that mean?
They would have
bowed.
They would have
been tortured.
After.
So that's the question. Is, but what does that mean? Does that mean they were allowed to do that? Does that mean that they would have done it? What's the story? How could they have done it? It's Yehari Gal Yavor. Avod Dezerah is Yehari Gal Yavor.
So why not that you need to like get Makot as opposed to, you know, doing Avod Dezerah? It's not very clear whether or not you need to take Makot.
Is this the source for torture might be different than...
There is a Shita Mekubetzes here that I heard first quoted by Dr. David Berger many, many years ago in auditing his medieval Jewish history course in Revel many, many eons ago, in which he mentioned the existence of the Shita Mekubetzes, that you might be chuyev only to be Moser Nefesh, but not only if they're going to kill you, not if they're going to torture you. If they torture you, then you're not chuyev to be Moser Nefesh. Now, the Kadosh Baruch Hu demands b'chol nafshecha, but torture is even worse than b'chol nafshecha. That is granted a distinctly lone voice in the tradition, but I would, for the moment, suffice it to say, we'll talk about this further when we come back here, as we start to go through the Rishonim. I think pshat is most likely like the Ramban offers, his first pshat, which is that it's not that they would have been allowed to. It's just that they would have. Right? In other words, remember the statement I made in the discussion of Getzikah, and I still owe you the file, Daniel. The discussion of Getzikah is that torture is a highly, highly effective device in getting people to say what you want them to say or to do what you want them to do. It may be useless for getting information out of people, you know that is actionable. I'm not getting into that question, but it is a highly useful device for getting someone to say something you want them to say or do something you want them to do. And therefore, if you torture a person and you want it to say Rotsani, to bring a karban, to write a get for his wife, he'll do that. And if you torture a person and say bow down to this particular thing, they may not in their hearts mean to be worshipping it, they may not believe in it as a god, but they'll bow. They'll most likely, most people will go through the motions and bow. Not everybody, but most people, because at a certain point, you sort of break a person. Thus, the Gemara is suggesting that it could be that Malkos in people's eyes is more chamer than Misa. And therefore, even if you say that Musra ledavar chamer have a Musra ledavar akal, it might be that in the eyes of people, in terms of what they're willing to suffer and would choose to suffer, they might faster suffer death than suffer Malkos. And therefore, even if you're right, Musra ledavar chamer have a Musra ledavar akal, nonetheless it could be that here we don't say that Misa is the Kal and Mammon is the Chomer and Malchus is the Chomer, and everybody agrees that Musa Davar Kal is not Musa Davar Chomer.
Could it be that Rav's statement is being a little bit twisted by the Gemara, and that I think it seems like in the tenses of the verbs, it's saying that they might have submitted themselves initially to beating, but eventually they would have bowed. It's not that they would have, if they had.
Okay, so I, you know, the Gemara is going to answer anyway. So there could be, and you can't tell what Rav's statement meant originally, right? In other words, it might be you're correct. And what they do is that they actually had, but initially they would have said, "We'll take the beating."
Yeah.
But it's possible. But the Gemara is going to reject it anyway for another reason, for an obvious reason, right?
It's not the same thing.
Correct. In other words, there is a difference between, ironically, the Malkos of the Raisa of an onesh is far less bad, in theory, possibly, than the Malkos Doraisa of Kfiya. What I mean, in other words, if you eat chazer, you get 39 lashes. Period. End of discussion. What if you're not repentant? You still only get 39 lashes. If you don't eat it again, you won't get any more lashes. If you do eat, you're not repentant and you do eat it again, you might get lashes again. Or at least you'll be smart enough not to say afal pike in the second time around. Okay? But when it comes to the Malkus of Kfiya, Makin or Sawachate Nafsho, maybe not literally we're going to kill him, but we will keep beating him until he does what we want him to do. Now those Malkus are worse because there's no end in sight until you do what you're being told to do. So that's what the Gemara turns around and says. Amalei Rasama Breder of Asi. Go ahead.
Amalei Rasama Breder of Asi. Of Ashi. Remember love. Rasama Breder of Ashi.
Yeah, he says that's not a good raya. That's not a good that's not a good. That you can't say that mama, that regular malchus is more chamer than misa. That's ridiculous. If you agree with, if you were to agree, imtim saloma that musul davachama adav mesrakal, then I've proven my point. Then you could give, then you give the malchus potentially, and still the Torah says you pay and you don't get malchus. You see?
This is just a very minor question in terms of the reading. I get to the same exact place. Is he making a statement that you are wrong because you don't make a differentiation, or is he asking a question?
No, he's saying it's wrong. It's a rhetorical question. You don't recognize the difference between
is it a rhetorical question or is it a statement?
He is rejecting that premise. Of the application of Rav here. He doesn't disagree with Rav, but he's saying that Rav's point is irrelevant here. Misa's chamor, even in people's eyes. Then one set of malchus, yeah.
And it's the vav at the beginning that tells us it's a rhetorical question as opposed to just the statement that you're wrong?
I never thought about it. I think so. I mean, I haven't thought about which what tells me, but... Okay. So, one last part here. We'll stop with this. Maskif la...
Maskif la Rav Yaakov minar v'chud v'nichal l'rabanan.
Right, so if you're talking about, this only works if you assume that nefesh tachas nefesh by the woman who kills by the man who kills the pregnant woman by, you know, trying to kill his friend, it only works if you assume that that's misa. Because if that's misa, then what has to there have been? Hasra for misa, which includes hasra for malchus. But if you assume that asata nefesh tachas nefesh refers to a monetary payment, that no matter what, no matter what, you pay money. If you tried to kill one person, you killed another, you don't get Misa. Then it doesn't have to be an Hasra in that case. And if there wasn't Hasra in that case, then it could be that the reason you're not getting Malkos is not because Mishalim Vein Aloka, but because it's E.F. Sherlukos. You can't get Malkos, and therefore, Bal Karchenu, we actually give you Mama. Okay. So we'll stop here on this. The Gemara is going to make another attempt, a similar type of attempt with a similar type of rejection. And now we'll end Rabbi Yochanan. I just want to make very